you'll be very interested to know, Elliot, that this is going to be a great conversation today.
Because
not only do you get to speak with Ryan and I, but Canadian comedy legend Jerry D is in studio.
Oh, Jerry, how you doing, man?
Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Big
fan of your work. Big fan.
I want who's more
seriously? I am.
Who's more in awe? Is it maybe?
I'm in awe. Love
Elliot. I tell you, there was one time, Jerry. I was in the Leaf dressing room, and Jerry set me up very nicely. He was working for the score at the time, and he said, "Can I interview as part of a segment I'm doing?" And I said, "Sure, no problem." And he asked me a question. I started to answer. He said, "Who am I kidding? I don't want to talk to you." And he walked away. It was very well
done. Did I do that? It was a character. It wasn't me, Elliot. It was a character.
That's the theme of today. It wasn't me.
No, yeah, it was that was accidental. That was very accidental.
Yeah. I howled. My wife loved it.
Oh, good. I have to find that clip. I might have that somewhere.
Do you miss doing
more? Yeah, I do. I'm starting to miss it because, you know, as Elliot will tell you, it was just really cool to go in the room and, you know, at your own, you know, just whenever you wanted. And I'd go to the Raptors and I'd go in the room and just see all the guys. And now I can't, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of miss that. But I was going to the Super Bowl, the Masters. So, yeah, I do miss it.
Yeah.
And I can't believe Rodgers never begged me to come back and do that.
Hey,
I like the race against the kids at the X.
Yeah, that was
my favorite one.
I always loved doing stuff with kids because, you know, and I have kids. You're always supposed to be so nice. Good try. And I love doing the real uber competitive and, you know, pointing out that a kid that's 7 is slow. I just find there's something funny about being really honest and stop lying to them. Let's talk about Elliot, though.
I definitely want to talk about Elliot. No, but you're a big hockey guy. This is great. Zdeno Chara, 4 to 6 weeks out for the Boston Bruins. Elliot, what, Peter Chiarelli, what's he going to do?
Well, the one thing here we don't know yet is if it's just 4 to 6 weeks or it's 4 to 6 weeks and then we'll figure it out. Like when Evander Kane got hurt for Winnipeg a couple weeks ago, they said it's going to be 2 weeks and then we'll reevaluate. And we're waiting for further clarity, guys, but it sounds like it could potentially be that here, that it's 4 to 6 weeks and we'll see if this gets fixed without surgery, but then we might have to get another decision made then. So I think that's the question we're still waiting is it 4 to 6 weeks he comes back, or is it 4 to 6 weeks until we can determine if or when he can come back? And it's a huge deal for Boston. They called up two defensemen from their minor league team today, and they're supposed to be at practice. They're coming here tonight. They've got a game in Toronto tomorrow. And hopefully we'll have a better idea of what this really means, because there is some belief it's longer than that, and this is just going to be until they have a better idea of what they're dealing with.
And Elliot, speaking of injuries, and you know, obviously knowing that the Carolina was here last night, what's the status in Jeff Skinner? Because he's on a thin leash, right, with the safety of the concussions. Do you have an update on where things are at with him medically?
Well, the thing about Skinner is, and you know, is that when he got hurt this year, it wasn't the most like brutal collision.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know his family a little bit. I've talked to his father several times, and I just, you know, I sent him a note when the concussion happened. And I said, you know, I just hope you and your family are doing okay. And he sent me a quick note back. And he, you know, but I didn't really get into, you know, what does this mean? What's the future? And he's been back for two games now. He played in Winnipeg. He played in Calgary last night. And I think the thing is that's good is he escaped, you know, he came out of, you know, both games relatively unscathed. But I do know that there is talk about how many more of these things he can really go through. And at some point, I do plan to broach it with him and the family, but I'm waiting for the right time, because when the boy is going through it, you don't really want to bother them as much.
Right.
And it's interesting you say boy, because I think we forget he came right in at 18. He's still incredibly young.
Well, I was looking at, he was. I mean, he was a star right away. I was more looking at it from the parents' perspective.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Dean, you know, we're both dads now, and, you know, I've got a 3-year-old, and I try to imagine it as if, you know, that was my son going through that and how I'd feel and what my emotions would be. So, you know, I guess I just use the term boy because it's Mr. Skinner's boy, I guess, is the way to put it.
Elliot Friedman, where are you in Toronto right now?
I am, yes.
Jerry D, comedian Jerry D, in studio here in Calgary. It's just, it's a cavalcade of stars. I don't know how we can fit everybody in.
I'm envious, Elliot. You just
there's a lot of egos on this phone call. That's
zero
sure.
egos.
This is what we do, though. We Elliot comes on 2-3 times a week, and we just talk hockey.
Elliot, and I'm not just blowing smoke here, but Elliot is the best at, you know, I don't know how you get the stuff. You know, salary cap, and I mean, obviously you do your research, but you must have a one-way line to everybody because I follow you on Twitter and you will know something. I always find that amazing. Like, do you just text a GM when you need to know stuff? Is that how it works?
Generally, I make it up. No. Yeah. You know what? It's like anybody who covers their beat. Like, you have a network of people that you trust for information. You check, okay, what's going on? Can you get a little bit of nugget of information here or there? And then you start texting people or calling people and saying, I've got something I want to check with you. And, you know, there's three ways that people kind of do it, Jerry. There's number one is they'll get right back to you and they'll say either that's true or that's not true. You'll get a group of people that will say, you know what, I'm not going to talk about that. And I'll go and I'll say, look, am I wrong? And I'll either get, again, I'm not going to talk about that, which is usually code for you're on the right track, but yeah. I'm not going to be the guy who confirms it for you. Or, you know, there are guys, and I actually do appreciate this about them. If I'm wrong, they'll say to me, you're wrong. If I'm right, they won't get back to me.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of, is there somebody else you can confirm it with?
Because there is a competition, it seems. When I follow a lot of you on Twitter, and so-and-so first to bring you the news. Is that a part of your industry that is you know, there's a cred by, this is, you know, Elliot found this first, and then, oh, we didn't get it. Is it kind of, that's kind of part of the job, right?
Well, it is. I think our bosses care a lot about that.
Yeah.
That's true. I think there are some people who care about it more than others. Like, you know, I look at it this way. I want to win every story, Jerry, but I know it's like hunting. Someday you catch the bear, and someday the bear catches you.
Well, there's been a couple of, you know, I won't say who, a couple of big guys in the business that have done that to try to get it out first and been wrong.
Yeah, the
and
bear then was involved, too. In that
and
one,
you got to backpedal. And that's got to be awkward.
I had one like that last
year. I'm sure you've all
had,
yeah.
In Pittsburgh, where I was told both the head coach and the general manager were going to be fired, and I reported it, and the general manager was fired that day, and the head coach, they just decided to wait 3 weeks before they fired him.
So you were right. In essence, you were correct.
It was sort of like a delayed reaction.
Yeah, I think everybody has, you know, you're trying to get a jump on things, but, I mean, without all of you guys, it's great.
I think that the public decides who's credible and who's not.
Yes.
And if they think I'm credible, they'll follow me and believe what I say, and if they don't think I'm credible, they won't follow me, and they'll say that Friedman, he's a jack whatever. I don't listen to anything he says.
Say you're very credible.
Yeah. You have a ton of cred, street cred.
Thank you, boys.
Can you skate though? Because I'm always watching you, going, can he even skate?
Yeah, I can skate.
Okay, because I would like you to be able to skate a little bit for knowing so much about hockey.
I can skate. I can. I played
backwards.
I played up until I was a peewee.
Okay, so you got.
I'm embarrassed to say that I was a pretty soft player.
What'd you think of the Justin Bieber dangle, sort of so-called dangle around the,
I could do.
Around the Shoppers Drug Mart defenseman?
Isn't that humbling, though? It's like, jeez.
I mean, give me a break, though. Just you put your worst player on the ice, and anyone could dangle there.
This weekend, hockey night, what's up for you, and is there anything you're working on? I know that last week, we talked to you on Friday, and then we find out on Saturday you had all this TJ Brody info you were holding out on. Are you holding out on us?
I was not holding out on you. I would never do that. And like I said, I credited you on Monday. But I did not have anything concrete until Saturday. I would not hold out on you.
All right.
You know, I'm obviously working on some stuff. You know, the team that was in your town last night, they've got some big decisions they've got to make. And I'll tell you, Kelly Rudy, I don't know if he's listening this morning, for Kelly to take a run at somebody, because he doesn't like to do it, he really saves his moments to do that. He was as hard on Semin last night as I've heard anybody be tough on a player in quite some time. So I think, you know, Carolina has some big decisions they have to make. That's number one. Obviously, we'll be chasing the Chara situation and seeing where that goes. And, you know, I think the amazing thing to me this year, guys, is like in a year where there's two absolute studs at the top of the draft list, I think we're just going to see teams play for it. And there are some teams this year that are legitimately low, and I think they're just going to write off their season early.
Do you think that, you know, there's always that debate with Merrill Lemieux. Do you think that happens in it, you know, in being honest, do you think there's a subconscious or conscious decision by somebody to say, let's just keep status quo here? Yeah. And not
absolutely in Buffalo's case, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like they won't come right out and admit it, but their ownership was sold on this plan to do it for 2 or 3 years, specifically coming into this year. And I think with the results that we're seeing early on in the season, I think you'll see more teams actively trying to do
it. But it's not a guarantee to come last and get the first pick. So,
well, you know this year that if you finish last, the worst you're getting is second.
Right.
So it's not until next year where that you can drop deeper into the lottery.
Oh, that's next year.
So, I mean, if you finish, that's the difference. The scare is if you finish second, you could drop to third and miss one of the two centers. But if you finish dead last, you know that you're getting one of the two of them at least.
Is there anything from the NHL side protecting this, whether even it's a suspicious thought, is there anything they would do or will do to prevent this? Because that's a pretty big thing to try to do or suspect someone's doing.
Well, they changed the lottery, but they changed the odds this year. And they changed the distance you could drop next year. And it's funny, the NBA just went through this too. The NHL made their changes, and the NBA, because they're mad at Philadelphia, which has tanked about 3 seasons in a row, they were voting to do the same thing, but at the last minute they voted against doing it. So I think what the league has said is, okay, we're going to let teams get away with it up until the NHL's done is said, we're going to let teams get away for it from this year, and that's it. Now, if you're going to tank after this year, there's no guarantee you're getting one of the top picks. We're going to make it tougher on you. And I think that's probably the fairest way to do it.
Well, Elliot, enjoy. We'll be watching tomorrow. I'm going to just take it easy.
I'll be on the stools,
today.
Dean.
Yeah, I'll be. I don't like the
Do you like the red chairs better than the stool?
I'm fine with those other
ones. Likes the chairs.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be watching your ankles all night tomorrow night. Thanks, Elliot.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right,
see ya.
Guys, have a great weekend.
There you go. Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider.